So there are many questions about where President Trump got infected and by whom. When reporters at Walter Reed Medical Center asked about that yesterday, White House physician Sean Connolly refused to answer.
Not going to go into that. As far as his care, it's irrelevant.
But there have been many occasions when scores of people gathered, unmasked and without social distancing, near the president, including the White House event last weekend for the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. We're joined now by Zeynep Tufekci, a professor at UNC Chapel Hill and writer for The Atlantic, who says we should actually be looking at how COVID-19 spreads in clusters. She joins us now. Good morning. Hello, Zeynep Tufekci, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. What do you see when you look at how many people around Trump have tested positive the last several days?
I see a cluster. I see a cluster that is arguably a super spreading cluster, depending on how many people eventually get infected. And in fact, that's a really important thing because this virus operates like this. It is surprisingly non-contagious most of the time, but then when it does spread, it spreads in these big clusters. This is what we see from research all over the world. And I think this is part of the reason the White House got this false confidence, because they kept flouting the rules. They kept like not wearing masks, and they kept sort of gathering indoors. And they do this test that's kind of this rapid test, but that's not as reliable. You can get a false negative. You might not have just peaked in your viral load yet. So they just relied only on that and did not follow the rest of the rules. And we see from the party they had for the Supreme Court nomination, they had indoor receptions as well. We know that leading up to the preparation for the debate, they were in a conference room indoors the whole time. And the Senate has been operating indoors as well. And that's another thing that this virus does, is that despite we've been told 6 feet, which is, yes, important, but it's not some magic number, because this virus can spread through the air. It has short-range aerosols, which means it's airborne. So indoors, 6 feet is not enough. You can't just sort of be 6 feet away if you're in a, especially the poorly ventilated place, for a long time. So that's quite likely how some of the other senators we're seeing now may have gotten. They may have been in a room with their colleagues, and just being six doors, six feet is not enough. We don't have the right mental model of the spread, unfortunately.
Well, you've written about this, and there's been quite a few studies that show that, yes, the way that we understand that the coronavirus disperses is a little bit different now. Tell us the role of super spreaders and how the virus can transmit to large numbers of people at once.
I will. For example, if you look at some of the countries that got hit early on, you see that they had a super spreading event. For example, in South Korea, one woman linked to a church cluster, she is responsible for 5,000 infections, which is a mind-blowing number, but that's how it happened. On the other hand, the studies show that sometimes 70 to 80% of the infected people don't transmit onwards at all. So yes, it's a really imbalanced behavior. So you look and you don't see the transmission and you're thinking, oh, this is fine. This is not very contagious. This is not transmitting, because 70-80% of the time, nothing's happening. And then boom, you know, you get a super spreading cluster and you get this enormous number of people. And it's almost always indoors. It's almost always if the ventilation is poor and the people are not wearing masks. So while it's a little scary, I also find it little encouraging in that we have a very specific set of guidelines on what to really avoid.
Right. You mentioned indoors, venue, ventilation, and vocalization. And those are the three V's, you call them.
Yes. Yeah, and in fact, this is the speaking inside. Like in Japan, which is a very successful country, they ask people not to speak loudly in the subway. And also in this country, we don't do this, but the speaker should keep their mask on because they're aerosolizing, right? They're the ones that are actually the ones that need to keep the mask on from infecting everybody else. But we keep seeing it, even with the highest levels of our government. We had our two presidential candidates and, you know, President Trump speaking really loudly just 12 feet away from the other presidential candidate. And from a health precaution wise, that's just not okay.
We only have a few seconds left, but I'm just wondering, do we know anything about what makes someone a super spreader? Why certain people seem to be more highly contagious?
There's probably a biological variation in that some people are super emitters, but we don't really know how to test for that. It also seems that the day before people have their symptoms, that's when they're most infectious, which is a little worrisome because before you even know you're ill or you just start having maybe mild symptoms you can't make sense of, that's when people are most infectious. But the last component of it is the setting, the venue, indoors, poorly ventilated, unmasked. So it's the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time. It comes together, and that's how we get super spreading events.
That's Zeynep Tufekci. She teaches at UNC and writes for The Atlantic. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.